Welcome, everyone, to those who are listening into the recording. We're going to have a much better recording for you now, and we do have the Q&A session open. So anyone who wants to press star 6, and then 1 can come in. And as I was saying, I've been having a great time this morning with our moving sale and looking at the excitement on little kids' faces to find something for a dollar that they love, and other people's faces because they get to have something wonderful they've wanted at a price they can afford. And I think I would just do a bargain business all the time if I could. But, you know, guess what? That is what I do. That's anyone who works with Christ, anyone who works with Yeshua, the Holy Spirit, our God, our Father, is in the bargain business. There really is no better bargain than what God offers. There's nothing even close. And we're going to talk about that in our blessing. But before we get there, I see three people who are wanting to talk. Hi, Paul.
Hello, Glenn.
You're on.
Hello, everyone. Oh, I'm just so delighted to be able to say thank you for that wonderful series of lessons in our last webinar.
You are welcome.
It's so fabulous that that I'm feeling as absolutely, I don't know how to say it, as relaxed and energized and optimistic and happy and free, my inner being, as I have really ever in my life. And for several weeks before this, so many things that were actually looking like they were going to transpire just never did. And I was led down paths and working, basically it had to do with things from my website and selling paintings and so on. And in the studio crawl that we had about a month ago,
and
my resources, financial resources, dwindling and dwindling, and just really starting to be afraid that I wouldn't even be able to stay living where I am, and I have no place to put anything, and I cannot have any kind of garage sale or anything here. So,
oh no!
I was getting, you know, terrified and trying to repress it and say, well, no, everything's fine. But what happened is that I've been going up in my studio at night and I've been painting, and I'm just delighted with painting, you know. And I've been speaking with Yeshua and the Father and Holy Spirit, and what happened has occurred is, over a period of time in these sessions, I just know everything is fine. And my health is wonderful, spiritually, emotionally, physically. I'm just as alive as I've ever been. And all my resources are dwindling, and I don't seem to be attached to that at all. What I'm really into is I feel wealthy. I feel like I'm being totally taken care of, and I know exactly what to do, and I've just been taking action, and that's the point here.
Oh, Paul, that is so wonderful. You know, the thing is, God has given us the basic priorities for our life, and we lose sight of that because the competitive world has its own demands and priorities, and we think that if we abide by those priorities, we'll be taken care of until all of a sudden it doesn't work. And so for everybody else, Paul is talking about the webinar, What Matters Most. And the fact is, what matters most are the things that work in God's universe, because if that's working, then all the things that matter most to you will work, and from that you can rebuild your resources in the world, or multiply your resources in the world, or enjoy them. You know, how many people have earned great wealth and don't enjoy it? So, Paul, thank you so much for that testimony, and even more for applying it and really. I am so grateful that you spoke, and I'm going to take another call from area code 415, and you're on.
Hi, Glenda. This is Marguerite.
Hi, Marguerite.
Traveler.
Yes, I know.
Well, Paul took the words out of my mouth, and so for everybody that is listening, I just actually wrote a comment on your Blessing Givers Facebook page to say if you haven't taken the What Matters Most course, please sign up for it when it comes around again. Because, Glenda, you did. It was a tour de force. It was such an amazing integration of From Love Without End to the Keys of Yeshua to your creativity, and you synthesized it in four amazing lessons. And I was in a terrible quandary about how do I integrate my work in Africa, which is going very well, and then I feel so disconnected when I come back here. And So I was able to go through the exercises, get strongly connected to the destiny, then get down to the practicalities. And
yeah.
Collaborators are showing up here in the United States that are also interested overseas. I mean, these were miracles. And even knowing that I too have to move in a short period of time, and I was in a quandary about how I was going to get all of that done, and the answers started presenting themselves. So I just want to thank you from the bottom of my heart, and just you make all of our lives so much more possible. So thank you, Glenda.
Oh, you are so welcome. And, you know, if you could just write a few words on our website about that course, it will help people to know they really want it. And once we have given our graduates a month to have their access, their follow-through access, and their jam sessions completed, we're going to open that course for home study. So it is the one course of everything I've offered I would recommend to everybody in today's world, because it helps you make life work on all levels, spiritually, emotionally, mentally, physically, and in your relationships and your work and your service life. All the dimensions, they all come together because you're using God's priorities.
Well, I will be happy to make some comments on it. And, again, I agree. I think if there was one single course that anybody should take, it should be that course, because it's a combination of practicality with deep, deep, profound lessons. So I'll be happy to spread the word.
Oh, great. Great, great. And I hope you will too, Paul. And I loved having both of you in the class. There will be more, we will have more seminars, but I almost definitely be after the first of the year, because we will be moving in 2.5 weeks. So today was the moving sale. The Packers are showing up in the next 2 weeks, and then we're off to our new home. And that in itself was a God thing all the way around. So I'm going to take a call from area code 321, and you are on.
Hey, I pulled an expression from the course, sort of as a buzz to steer me around in the right direction. The one that says, it is essential that we move into creation instead of suffering.
Yes.
I kind of use that to get the ship steered right. And
yes.
also we got a little bit from a previous course that accidentally downloaded too. And I wanted to say thank you for that too. There was an exercise.
Oh, right.
The expiration, gathering, nurturing exercise.
Yes, yes, and you're welcome to that. That was we don't know how that happened. I think that I was late in sending the lesson, and our webmaster dipped into our archives thinking that what he posted belonged to this course, but you're totally welcome to have enjoyed it.
Oh, I enjoyed that. And funny enough, there was a mention about a windmill in that section, you know, about creation, and it referred to a windmill. Last month, I built myself a little windmill and enjoyed doing it.
Oh, did you?
So I guess, I don't know. That seems kind of cool.
That is really cool. Well, now that you've had a taste of that course, you may want to enroll in that course. All of our courses are actually archived online for home study. And you can download all the lessons and all the audios so that you can study them over and over again. So now that you've had a little sample, maybe you will be led to that course. And, you know, the comment you made, that it is essential that we move into creation instead of suffering. That is something that I really cannot emphasize enough in relation to what we get from our blessings. You notice that the sun shines on the rich and the poor. The sun shines equally on those who are hurting, on those who are not hurting. When God rains his blessings upon us, he gives blessings to those who are in good health and not good health. Now, that doesn't mean that God is not compassionate to those who do suffer. But we have gotten into, shall we say, an agenda of suffering where we feel that if we're hurting, we need to hold on to it because somehow it has some value. If we're afraid to let go of the exchange value of suffering because whatever caused us to suffer may owe us something, or if we're suffering, others may be more willing to help us and take care of us. But I'll tell you, all the miracles in all the ages of all the human beings who have done extraordinary things are the ones who just stopped suffering and started creating. Now, that doesn't mean that the pain goes away. And this is one of the teachings from the Buddha that I really, really love. And that is, he was very clear about the difference between pain and suffering. If you prick your finger on a cactus, it will hurt no matter what. But if you hate the cactus, and then you kick the cactus, and then you hold on to your anger about it, that is suffering. The same is true if you touch your finger on a hot stove. It's going to burn. But the fact is, people who get over that pain quickly. Let's say you run some cold water over it, you put some ointment on it, or I like to put baking soda. It helps to draw the pain right out, and then I put miracle solution on it. And I go about my business, I don't think about it. It's all gone the next day. Now, I could suffer over it, but I don't. I learned that lesson a long, long time ago. And that's why I say that pain is pain. And yes, we all have pain from time to time. It seems to be part of life that we will go through physical pain, emotional pain, sometimes even spiritual pain when we lose our faith. But to feel the pain is one thing. To perpetuate it as suffering is another. And the greatest antidote to suffering is faith. And I really believe this is one of the reasons when Yeshua would heal someone, he would tell them, if your faith has made you whole, and he would send them forth to continue being faithful. Because he knew that what he had relieved at that moment was the suffering. And if the suffering went away, then what he healed physically would continue to heal and would stay healed. You see, our suffering is like a badge or a flag we carry that says somebody or something has hurt us. And we think it has some value. It helps us to be entitled to something, maybe entitlement to repayment for some damage done to us, or to explain why we just choose to be in a grumpy mood. We'll talk about our surgery forever and ever. My goodness, after I got out of my surgery, I couldn't wait to walk and get on with my life. And everyone was amazed that I went to physical therapy, and they thought I had been out of surgery for 3 months. I'd just been out for 3 days because I was just doing things that a three-month post-surgical person would do. And I looked at other people in there that were carrying their suffering with them. No question they were in pain. But you don't have to suffer because you're in pain. And I really love that clarification that we got from the Buddha. Now, there's no question that Yeshua also taught that in his own way. But he taught it a little differently in a way that wasn't so clearly passed down. If you look at the lives of the saints, though, you will see none of them suffered, and many of them bore great pain. All of the apostles were martyred. Not a one of them suffered. You look at the writings of Paul. Almost all of them were written when he was in prison, and prison was a horrible, horrible place then. Well, it's horrible any time, but unthinkable in those days, and frequently beaten and tortured. He didn't suffer. John, the beloved, was boiled in oil. You think that didn't hurt? Of course it hurt. He got out and washed himself off and just went on about his business. He didn't suffer. So that's what I mean when I say, okay, let go of your suffering and get on with creativity. Because right now, there's too much competition in the world for, well, shall we say entitlement of one sort or another. There's too much competition for it. It's just, if that agenda ever worked for you, even the littlest bit, it won't work now, and it never was worth it. The sacrifice a person makes in integrity, electing to suffer, is never worth the cost in integrity. And besides, the greatest bargain in life is God. And God loves a cheerful person. God loves a person who prays with joy, especially a person who's hurting and prays with joy and prays with faith. And, you know, I was noticing myself a long ways descended down from God in heaven, even though there's God within me, as there is everybody. But at my little garage sale, people would ask, you know, everybody wants to bargain with you. No, I don't care how cheap something is. They want it for a dollar less or $5 less. And I was trying to hold the line. But if somebody bought several things, like four or five things, I would say, you know what, I'm just going to give you this. And you would see a Christmas tree light up. You'd think I'd given them $100. It was so precious to see how they loved being given to. And I think that we need to give to one another more. We really do. In my age, when I was growing up, there was something called a baker's dozen. And that's because if you bought a dozen donuts, they give you 13. And so often, even in stores, they didn't manage the stores by inventory in those days. And if you'd buy, I remember seeing a woman check out with, she had four children, and I think she bought five boxes of cereal, and she couldn't quite afford one, and the grocer said, "Oh, take this one." And just gave it to her. You know, that's not going to happen today at Albertsons or Kroger's or any of the major stores because they have to inventory everything. But it's too bad that it doesn't. Because in the days when that happened, there was so much more open expression of love and support among people. But you can give people help. You know, there was a lady who was having a little trouble walking, and we have stairs up to the house, and I saw she was a little hesitant about going down the stairs, and I left my post completely, and I went to her, and I said, would you like to have some help down the stairs? And it was like I just showed up as a little good angel. She was so appreciative. And there are so many things we can do for one another. And, you know, God is like the baker's dozen. All our Creator really expects is that we do some part of the co-creation. You know, He wants us to co-create. If we'll come in and do just a little bit, we don't just get the baker's dozen, we get the baker's two dozen. We get matching grants for the least amount of effort. One of the big mistakes that so many of us make is we look for signs to come in and give to us first. And if something or someone gives to us first, then we'll give the matching grant. But actually, that's not the way the universe works. If you want something, you have to take action. You have to have faith in yourself. You have to have confidence in yourself. You have to be a willing receiver. You have to put yourself forth, at least in faith. If you don't have the money, that's okay. I have some really expensive artist exhibition screens that I want to move on to the next artist because I won't be doing that kind of exhibition anymore. And there was a lady here, had several children, and she just started being an artist and wants to go to the shows so badly. And she lives from dollar to dollar, and I offered to let her have it on, I reduced it down to where, you know, Jiminy Cricket could afford it, but she still couldn't afford it. And I just encouraged her to take my number because I didn't want to give it to her for a very good reason, because she needs to reach for that. I'll really help her have it if she reaches for it. And I told her, I said, you know, of all the people that's looked at this, I most want you to have this. But you're going to have to show me that you really want it. Okay, so here's my number. Now, if you decide you really want it, you call me. And I think that's a lot like Yeshua is. I think it was Him speaking through me. And I think that's a lot the way I've noticed God to be. God will listen to my prayers and my conversations, and I could write a whole book on the miracles of us getting that house and how we were led to it, but, you know, God was basically saying, well, you do your part and just have faith, and I did, and it's ours, and that's how I have put your faith out. Put your faith in your hands and say, yes, yes, God, I do want this. I don't want to suffer anymore. And I can deal with the pain if you will help me overcome the suffering. And once you overcome the suffering, you'll be surprised how the pain starts diminishing. And then as you experience the pain diminishing, you'll learn how God takes more and more of that pain away. Whether it's emotional pain, physical, financial, whatever. The first thing is to stop your suffering. Then you can deal with your pain. When we accelerate our suffering and we make our suffering greater than our pain, God looks at us and says, well, I guess she wants to suffer. I guess she wants to be in pain because she's certainly adding to her suffering. You know, we've got to show with tangible evidence that what we want is really what we want. And then we get it. And that is really, really one of the laws of the universe. You know, there's been a lot, there's been so much hype about the law of attraction. And there are probably at least 50 laws that I would call laws of the universe. I think we're probably going to do a course after I get moved, and we're going to talk about some of these other laws, because I condensed a lot of them into just really practical, everyday language in our What Matters Most course. But there are many, many laws in the universe, and some work better for other people. They all pertain to all of us. But, you know, it doesn't matter which one we start working on, as long as we really, really apply. Like the law of generosity. We give. We give to God. God gives back to us. That's one reciprocation you can count on. And, you know, you give to nature. Nature gives back to you. You can count on that. You know, there are many, many. There's a law of grace. There's a law of forgiveness. I can just go on and on. And we will, in that course, we will talk about all of the laws that I know about, and there may be more, but I know of at least 50 laws. And each one of them starts turning life around to where then all the rest of them work better for you. But we're getting pretty close to the time for our blessing today. So I'm going to just spend a little time with you a moment here, and I'm going to just go over the protocol for the blessing for those who have not been here before. We're always getting new people. This blessing is conveyed energetically. It's conveyed in two parts. The first part is energetic. It's a gift that's given to you from God by the Holy Spirit through the love of Yeshua, the love of Christ, and the reciprocal attraction of our beautiful earth, creating a flow of energy from heaven to earth. In case you're not familiar with the way lightning works, lightning actually starts with the magnetic attraction from the earth. Lightning really doesn't come from the clouds. It starts with the magnetism of the earth, and the earth magnetizes the electrical forces that are in the clouds. Well, you could consider that analogy to be a very appropriate description of how this blessing is conveyed. And for that reason, I ask you to take your shoes and socks off. If it's cold, then don't take your socks off, but hopefully you've got natural fibers on, wool or cotton or silk. Have your feet on the floor and be seated in a chair with your head, the top of your head, pointed toward the heavens so that you can attract the energy pouring down. It will go through your head into your heart, swirl around in your heart where Christ will bless it with love. Then it will move into the earth and back from the earth through your body and out the top of your head again, and back and forth many times. And this flow has a way of knowing what you need, because each of us have a unique energetic frequency, and it will adjust to each person. And this blessing is from God, not from me. I'm like a radio antenna. I direct it. It's kind of like, you know, your TV has to have a receiver to pick up the signal. Sometimes they use cable, sometimes a satellite disc. Well, I'm your satellite disc, and I'm helping pick up the signal and, through our connection, make sure you get it. But the picture is coming from God. The love you feel in your heart is from Christ. And then the feedback energy is from the earth. Now, once the energetic blessing has been conveyed and is complete, I want you to go lie down and don't think. Don't think at all. This is not a mind thing. You can't figure out what's happened. You've been nourished spiritually. So kind of like after a Thanksgiving meal, you want to go lie down and take a nap. Well, okay, after this meal, You go lie down and assimilate that energy. Let it fill you body, heart, soul, and spirit, and carry you into a special state of fullness, wholeness, and completion. You may pray during the whole process. During the energetic blessing, you may pray with words if you like. During the resting phase, I would say not words, but you may pray by just being in your heart and being in union with God. Let's don't bring words or anything from the mind into the resting part. And I would invite any blessing giver who wishes to be with me to join me now, and let us begin with an invocation to Yeshua. Dear Yeshua, our brother, our friend, the one who loves us unconditionally, who is with us in all times, all places, even when we don't feel you because you let us have our life, you know that only we can live our life, and you are not here to replace our life in any way, but to be a helpmate, a guide, and a companion as we call for your assistance. And in this moment we do. In this moment we call for your blessing of love, assurance, companionship, forgiveness, upliftment, enlightenment, and joy, that we may feel in our heart all the goodness that is there deposited by our Creator for us to become all that we can be. And we do ask in our prayers that you be with the lonely, that you be with those who are sick, with the children, and with those who are hungry, and those who have been through any form of disaster or catastrophe, that they too may know they are never alone, that you are always with them. We ask for your blessings through whatever first responders or caregivers come to help them along their way. Amen. the energetic part of your blessing is complete. Now go and rest. Enjoy your meal of love that has been so generously given to you. Allow it to fill your body, heart, soul, and being. And I look forward to being with you next week. Bye-bye for now.